Please, Harry, that ain't gonna work, Delaney complained. We've each got our own stations, and Harry cut him off. Until we get into a real battle situation, you guys work in pairs. I'm not kidding. I want you to keep an eye on one another. Reyes nodded solemnly. Okay, Harry. But who's going to keep an eye on you? It took Harry a moment to realize that Reyes was smiling gently. Gruffly, Harry said, Don't worry about me. They broke up. Nakamura went with Delaney forward to the optics station, Rosenberg and Reyes aft toward the coil and its fuel tanks. Harry stood alone in the empty battle management section, thinking that one of his four team members must have sabotaged the laser at the field test out in the Mojave and killed Pete Quintana in the doing of it. Karen Christopher was stretched out on the bunk in the rear of the flight deck with her eyes closed, but she couldn't sleep. The tanker's delayed. That one thought kept running through her mind. That and an image of the fuel gauges on Able One's control panel. We're over Japan now. We could break off this mission and put down at Misawa, nice and easy. Nobody gets hurt, and nobody would blame me for aborting the mission. And the North Koreans launch their missiles. We could stop them. She knew that as certainly as she knew her heart was beating. If I can get this clunker of an airplane into the proper position, we could shoot down those bastards before their rocket engines cut off. But you need another long drink of fuel to get there, she said to herself. You need that tanker. And if you stooge around over the ocean long enough waiting for it, you could run out of fuel and go down into the ocean. That'd be a great career move, she thought. Sink a billion-dollar airplane, the only one of its kind. Sink your career in the Air Force with it. Christopher wondered how much of a career she had to look forward to. She remembered the Board of Inquiry, the cold, hard faces of the Advocate General's panel of judges. You refuse a direct order to name the officer you've been sleeping with? The crusty old brigadier was smirking at her, seeing dirty pictures in his mind. My activities while not on duty are not subject to Air Force jurisdiction, sir, Karen had replied, knowing it was a pathetically weak defense. They are subject to Air Force jurisdiction when they reflect dishonorably on the service, the judge had snapped at her. Karen lapsed into silence. Her Air Force-appointed lawyer, a light colonel like herself, had advised her that silence was her best defense. Not that it did her any good. They couldn't get Brad's name out of her, so they bounced her out of her job with the B-2 squadron and stuck her in a dumbbell assignment driving a cargo plane on milk runs. But the cargo plane turned out to be Able One. Nobody expected the plane to do anything but fly racetrack courses over the open ocean and shoot its laser at simulated targets. Nobody expected the North Koreans to start World War III, or Able One to be sent on this mission to stop the war before it started. Nobody expected Lieutenant Colonel Karen Christopher to be placed at the pivotal point of world history. Colonel, ma'am? Karen snapped her eyes open. Lieutenant Sharman was standing over her, looking a little embarrassed. She pushed herself up to a sitting position. What is it, John? I've got the numbers on how long we can stooge around waiting for the tanker. They don't look good. U.S. Route 12, Bitterroot Mountains, Idaho. Out of the corner of his eye, Charlie Ingersoll noticed the gas gauge's warning light flicker. The highway was